This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 6/7/21, show number 280. Well, looks like we're off to the races in slow motion. Nick, slow summer trading, right?
Right now, we're starting off the week very, very quiet. You have a little minor pullback in the Dow Jones, the S&P, and the NASDAQ is flat. The real winner today is the Russell 2000. So as long as the Russell holds up, I don't think there's really any problem here. We did have a big rally on Friday. We call that the Friday effect. You know, all Fridays are higher. So far, a very, very quiet start to the week right now.
Big Friday PPT rally?
I have to think so. You had the job report come out, the non-farm payroll report by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It was basically a Goldilocks number, better than last month, but not nearly up, living up to expectations. And the market likes that. That keeps the Federal Reserve money printing going. The tapering talks kind of are off the table. So it really was a Goldilocks number on Friday.
Well, on the employment front, it appears that these states, the lockdown states, are finally ending it, as long as you don't consider Canada to be a state.
Yeah, they're starting to end it. But we still see lots of restrictions going on in California, which is a giant state. So, you know, we'll see what comes of it. But I think for the most part, people are starting to open up now. And, you know, we've been only calling for that for about a little over a year. And now they're starting to do it.
All right. It's about time. And you watch Rand Paul rant about it. They should call him Rant Paul, you know?
That's a good name.
Because that's what he does. He rants and he's right. But yeah, the whole lockdown thing, we don't need to get to that. But it was a very momentous week or weekend here in Florida, in Miami. We had the Bitcoin crypto conference. And to me, if there was any doubt that 65.5 was a peak, this should clear it up, because if we're mirroring 2017, in December of that year, we had the North American Bitcoin conference. There were so many people there, Nick, you couldn't even believe it. They wouldn't even give me a press pass. That's how many people there were. The next year, Bitcoin was down 75%, and they were giving out press passes like popcorn.
Well, it seems to be the way it works. Right now, Bitcoin, as we speak, is actually trading right around that 36,000 level. So, it's not getting too slammed today. It's more a little bit of weakness. But overall, traders have to watch the pattern that this thing is forming. Right now, if you take a look at the Bitcoin chart, it's forming a bearish base. And again, you have that big psychological level that you got to watch around that 200-day moving average. And then you have that pivot low that was made earlier this month. So I think traders right now have to be very, very careful in Bitcoin. Excuse me, the pivot low they made was in May 19th. So again, if Bitcoin loses that level, which was around 30,200, it's lights out. This is going to go all the way down to 21,000.
Breaks. So if it breaks 30,200, then it's straight down, huh?
It's pretty much straight down. Yeah, this looks like a really, really good bearish wedge. It could last a while where it stays in this range and goes sideways, but they got to do some recovery on this thing quickly, because if this does not get up, I'm going to say back above 45,000. This is in some trouble. So the pattern right now is what we call a bearish consolidation pattern, and it's forming on the daily chart. It's also forming on the weekly chart now. So I think anybody holding Bitcoin, you got to monitor these charts very closely going forward.
Hey, it's been making lower highs, right? And lower highs is kryptonite. Whether it's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's a stock, lower highs are bad news.
That's right. Lower highs are one of the signals that I watch all the time. I'm always looking for lower highs. And if I see that, I want to steer clear of that equity. You got to remember too, this was an equity that was trading at 65,500 in April. You know, here we are in June and it's around 36,000. So, and went as low as 30. So just a natural retrace, a 618 retrace takes you down to 27,000. An overshoot of that takes you down to around 20,000. And I'm looking for a move down to 21,000. So the technicals are not pretty for Bitcoin at the moment.
Hey, and I have a new saying for Bitcoin. Sell in April and dig a hole.
Well, that might be the saying to use this year, because this thing has fallen off a cliff. I know lots of people probably still have good profits in there. Maybe if they got in at 10,000 or 11,000 or 20,000, but you really want to protect your profits at this stage of the game. This thing is going to come under a tremendous amount of pressure. The chart is telling me that. I have no idea what the geopolitical ramifications are going forward, but when I just look at the chart pattern right now, it is a downtrending equity, lower highs, and that's really all you need to know.
All right, lower highs says it all. Well, our meme stocks, I keep going back to costs, like those guys made $45 million on a company probably was worth $4 million at best. They still have a brand. There's still history behind the brand. But nonetheless, they were down like $12 the last time I looked. And it's just emblematic of what's going on here.
Yeah. Today you have COSS, which is ticker symbol KOSS. That is up 10.5% today. It's incredible. So stock is trading at around $29.82. Then you have AMC, which is the movie theater chain. That's up another 17% today, trading at around $56. And then GameStop. I mean, this is up 17%. And this one is trading at $264. So, you have what we call a dash for trash once again. And we had that earlier in the year. We're getting it one more time. And ultimately, short term, it's fine. But longer term, this is not healthy.
Well, people made money on that trash. I would venture to say the traders made it, and the people who held on, who hodled, which is a bad strategy in any asset class, they got the shaft.
Yeah, that's normally what happens. You got to remember, back in, I believe it was January of this year. In fact, let me look at the exact date, January 28th, we had GameStop trade as high as $483 a share during market hours. Pre-market, it went over $500, and then it proceeded within 3 weeks to go down to $38 a share. I mean, if you're in it for this kind of game, this is, purely Wild West stuff, pure gambling, and you could really lose a lot of money if you don't know what you're doing.
And I would add that it's been going up lately on lower volume, slightly higher, but the volume is nowhere near what it approached back in January. Also a red flag there, right?
That's a great point. I didn't even bring it up, but you're absolutely 100% correct. I mean, the volume trends on GameStop recently have been putrid. They when they went up back in January, you saw the move happening on 300 million shares. This past Friday, I mean, Bitcoin traded up on GameStop traded up on 3.6 million shares. So the volume has definitely declined a tremendous amount, and you don't have those volume trends like you did back earlier in the year. And that is another red flag.
Sounds like a good short, Nick.
Could be. It could be at some point. But what I would tell everybody, if you want to short it, I'd rather see you do it with put options. Give yourself, 6 months of time, and don't go far out of the money as far as the strike price goes. And you're probably going to be rewarded. But for me personally, Kerry, this is just not my game. I trade with, I try to trade with companies that are liquid. They don't get moved around on naked short selling rumors and things like that. I mean, naked short selling shouldn't even happen. It should be, it is illegal, in fact. So it baffles me that this is still going on.
Well, let's put it this way, Nick. It's almost illegal. There's a few circumstances where they can finagle and pull it off, and they exploited those loopholes to the nth degree, because if you're a broker dealer, you can naked short.
And that's correct.
Put it through these broker dealers that are otherwise have no business whatsoever, but they put the short through them, and then they can keep extending it. In Canada, it's even worse. The Zero Hedge had an article. Hey, finally, let's talk about the metals. Pretty much flat today, but they regained a lot of their losses last week.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great rebound after that sell-off day on Thursday. Gold really snapped back, and today gold is up a little bit. Take a look at gold futures, up $3 right now, trading at around $18.95. And I love what gold is doing right now. I think it's just setting up very, very nicely. You had a little bit of a shakeout late last week. Then you had the bounce back. And now I just really want to see a little consolidation. I take a week or two of sideways action, and I think we're headed higher in gold and gold miners. So, so far, so good. And even silver today is acting pretty well. So if you take a look at silver futures, sitting right just under $28 an ounce right now. And again, that's higher by about a little over a quarter of 1%. So not a bad day there either.
Hey, that $28 resistance point, right? Really strong resistance at 28. I think you had mentioned in several other shows that it was going to be big resistance at that point.
That's exactly what I said. And I said, we're going to need to base there for a while and build what we call accumulation. And if you get an accumulation pattern, that's going to take you back up to $30. So that's where we are. And, you know, silver is doing exactly what we've said on this program for weeks now. It's going to get to 28. It's going to stall there. We knew that was going to be a big level. And then the next big resistance point is going to be around the 30, a little bit over $30.
All right. So then next resistance is $30. And that sounds pretty good to me. $30 is the point where average investors and non-traditional metals investors start to take notice.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to remember silver futures were as high as $30.35 back in February. We had that big move. I didn't think it was going to be the breakout. And then we had a big reversal right on February 2nd. And then, you know, we chopped around. But when you look at the overall pattern in silver, I mean, the trend is up and stronger than gold. And the chart is still very, very strong. So it's just all about consolidating, consolidating, consolidating. And then you'll make a run for the roses. Once you get above 30, you know what's after that, Kerry. It goes all the way, you know, to around the 618 retrace, which is around 35. Then you go test that 40 level. Then you go test the all-time highs, which were made in 2011 at around $50.
All right. Well, we will see what happens next there, Nick. Make sure you go over to Nick's site, inthemoneystocks.com, where he shows you how he does it and how you can learn how to do it yourself. The Twitter feeds for your consumption at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, at Kerry Lutz. And of course, send us your emails to my address, kl@kerrylutz.com. Nick, always great. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.